while he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall clothe in time, she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You notice her works are being praised in the gates, and that's where her husband is. Her husband is in the gates, and he's praising her for all the things that she's doing. I hope you paid attention as we read down through those verses and all of the things that her husband entrusted her with, this virtuous woman, because his heart safely trusts in the virtuous woman. So I want to speak to you tonight on the virtue of trust, the virtue of trust. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for blessing us and watching over us for another week. Lord, we need you this evening to help us to understand the Scriptures, to get something from the Scriptures. We have no intellect or wisdom of our own, or anything that we have comes from you. And so, God, we pray that you'd open up our understanding, open up our hearts to get something from the Word of God, and that we'd be more trustworthy individuals and people, and have more trusting relationships between one another. That you'd help us to see the danger of not trusting one another the way that we ought to. We love you, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Virtue means moral excellence or strength in a person. If you read about the virtuous woman in this chapter right here, you can tell that she's a very strong woman. I'm not talking about strong muscled woman or anything like that. I'm talking about on the inside. She is very strong. She has a lot of great character attributes that go along with her. She is a very hard-working woman. She does her husband good, the Bible says. But she is a virtuous woman. I'd like to ask you this evening, are you a trustworthy person? Do you have trusting relationships? Your marriage, your friendships, all of the relationships that you have, are they trusting relationships? Do you trust the people that you're around? Because any relationship that you have is going to be based on trust. Doesn't matter what it is. It says in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How do you like eating with a broken tooth? Not any fun, is it? Try to bite down on that whatever you're eating and, oh man, I was trusting in that tooth, but it failed me that time. The job that I had for that tooth to crunch up that food, whatever it was, man, it failed me. You're going to put all your weight on that leg, all your weight on that foot, and it's out of joint, and man alive, I tell you what, it's not going to hold you up because it's lame. Same way you're going to put your faith or your trust in someone who is unfaithful. It's going to do the same thing. They're not going to hold you up. They're not going to be there when you need them to be there. Each and every one of us ought to be there for those that we love, especially a husband and wife relationship or a friendship relationship. Can your wife trust you, or your husband trust you, or your friend trust you to be there? Well, this man right here, this is a mother speaking about a virtuous woman, and she said, you need to have your woman there that you can trust, that you can count on when things get rough. Whenever things are going haywire at the house, you got to have that woman there to be there to help you. And she can be like a helpmeet to you, the Bible says. I found a quote. It says, trust is the glue of life. It is the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It is the foundational principle that holds all relationships together. So that is the foundational thing. You notice the first thing that she mentioned was not beauty. The first thing that she mentioned was not money. She didn't say, "Now, son, go out and find you the most beautiful woman that you can find, and that's the one you pick." She didn't say, "Son, go find you somebody that's making a lot of money, that's got a big house, and that can take care of you." She didn't say that. The first thing she says is, "Get you a woman that you can trust." I'd like to say that to you this evening for all you unmarried couples here this evening. Find you a man or a woman that you can trust. Have a trusting relationship. David and Jonathan in the Old Testament were two of the best and closest and most intimate friends that you can find in the Bible. What were they doing? They were making a covenant between each other. They were making promises to each other. They were saying, "Hey, if I die before you do, would you please take care of my kids? Would you promise me that you would do that?" And David said, "Yes, I will." David told Jonathan, his best friend, "If you die and I'm still around and I'm king, I'll make sure that your seed, your children, are taken care of after I die," or after you die. They made a promise. That's what all relationships are based on. You ever had your first boyfriend or girlfriend? What'd you start out with? Your boyfriend may have wrote a note to you, if you're a girl here this evening. Well, most of the time it's boys who ask girls this, but what do you say? "Hey, will you be my girlfriend? Well, I want to give my heart to you. Will you take it and will you hold it for safekeeping? Because I want to be yours exclusively and I want you to be mine exclusively." What is that? That's a promise. That's trust. You're going to have a trusting relationship with one another. That's how I did it when I was a kid. I guess they text now. What do they do? Facebook message? Something like that? I don't know. We didn't have texting back whenever I was a kid. We had to write letters. We wrote letters. Because I lived in Waka, Texas, 10 miles away, and my girlfriend lived in Spearman. And so, you know, we didn't have the cell phones. We couldn't send a text message. It was a 3-4 page letter, and we had to deliver it at the grocery store where I worked. See, that's the way it worked. But now you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you can send a message, you can do all those different things. How about when you go to get married? Come down and stand before the preacher. What do you do? Will you promise to honor and love and cherish this person, this man, this woman, till death do you part? And you both say, "Well, I do." Right there. What are you doing? Making a promise to one another. Why? You're starting out your life together, and you're starting it out on this foundation right here. Trust. It's all started out on trust. Are you a trustworthy person? Do you have trusting relationships? Tonight, this woman right here was a trusting woman. That the man that was going to be married to this woman could trust her with a lot of things. Trusted her with his finances. Trusted her with his kids. Trusted her to clothe the kids. Trusted her to feed the kids, feed the family. Did all of these things. Trustworthy. His heart can safely trust in her. And she could trust in him too. So I see a mutual trust together there between two people. When two people love each other deeply and intimately, I tell you what, it's based off of trust. You know, one of these days you're going to keep on going, you keep on staying with that same person, you get with a person, whatever the case might be, you know, that trust ought to deepen. The more that you get to know that person, you got to have a deeper trust with that person. Why? You go through things. You find out things about each other, and you have a deeper trust with one another. I see three qualities in the virtue of trust out of these verses here. The first one is, true trust will complement one another. True trust, the virtue of trust, complements, it does not compete. Complements, it does not compete. Number two, the virtue of trust empowers, it does not restrict. And number three, the virtue of trust enriches, it does not deplete. Did you notice when we were reading about the story here about this virtuous woman and the life that this man and this woman had together. Did you see how full and how rich and how wonderful the life that they had together? All the things that they had together was based upon trust, a trusting relationship. The first thing that it does is it complements one another. Now, I'm not talking about, hey, you look beautiful today, sweetie, and hey, you look beautiful today, honey. No, that's not the kind of compliment I'm talking about. I'm talking about you make each other look good together. Do you make your wife look good or do you make her look bad? I'm afraid sometimes I might make my wife look bad. Some kind of a goofball sometimes. She's the one that makes me look good. You know, she's the better half. Do you make your wife look better or worse? Do you make your husband look better or worse? Because if you have a trusting relationship, it will always complement one another, and you'll always make each other look a lot better whenever you have a trusting relationship with each other. I do not see these two people fighting for supremacy in their relationship. What are they doing? Hey, they're complementing one another. They both have strengths. They both have weaknesses, and they know about those strengths, and they know about those weaknesses, and they complement one another. Same thing with men. Hey, men have some strengths that women don't have, and women have strengths that men don't have. That's why men and women are supposed to be together, because it's just perfect. Match made in heaven right there. You know, isn't that great the way that God made those things? You complement one another. Now, two men are not supposed to be together. Amen. You know, that's two positives together, and that doesn't work. So they should be complementing one another. There's not a whole lot of jealousy going on between the two. They're not trying to outdo each other. They're not trying to compete, getting jealous, saying, hey, man, you're a lot better than this than I am, and I'm going to try and make you look bad, all these different things. No, sir. No, they're complementing one another. How is it in your house? Is it like the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys going at it every day? You're competing with one another. Hey, I'm getting my strategy to see how I can get a leg up on my wife or a leg up on my husband. That's what I'm doing. Are you competing with one another? Or are you complimenting one another? Because in this passage, they are complimenting one another. Trying to make yourself look better, maybe make your spouse look worse. Is there an air of superiority or arrogance within the relationship? Tell you what, that's not going to work. It will not work. You're not supposed to compete with one another. You're supposed to complement one another. Amen. One time I witnessed a Baptist pastor putting down his wife in front of the whole entire congregation one Sunday. Let me tell you something, that's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Made her look stupid and foolish in front of everyone. And he did it regularly to the women. Terrible. He did not compliment his wife. He did not make her look better. He made her look worse. And foolish. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 46, the disciples, of course, there was 12 together. So you get 12 guys together, what are they going to be doing? What are they going to be saying to each other? Who's the greatest, right? Who's the strongest? And they weren't saying who's the strongest, but they were saying, they were trying to get together and they were trying to say, who out of all of these people, out of all these men right here, are the greatest? You know what Jesus Christ came in and did? He broke them up and he said, it doesn't matter who the greatest is. It matters whose is the greatest servant. That's the question right there. Who serves more? Jesus Christ brought a child in the midst of those 12 disciples, and he said, you need to be just like this little child right here. Accept the commandments of God like a little child and become like a little child. So are you complimenting your spouse, or are you competing with your spouse? You ought to be working together for the good of one another. How did she compliment her husband? Well, she worked hard to provide for her family. She furthered her husband's career and name. Did you see that in verse number 23? Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Did you notice where he's sitting? He's sitting at the gates. You know where? Do you know who's used to sit at the gates of the city? It used to be the judges. It used to be the guys that were high up. It used to be the important men of the land Why was he there? Because his wife was supporting him. She was the one that was helping him to get where he was. You know, so you know, old Ronald Reagan, probably one of the greatest presidents who ever lived, in my opinion, anyway. I don't know about you guys. But I was reading a little bit up on him and looking at a little bit of his history, and history has it that Nancy Reagan was one of the driving forces behind his career, his political career. She was right there looking after him. She was seeing who was his enemies and who were his friends and who was trying to get up on him and all these different things. Tell you what, she was a strengthening force behind his political career. Same way with this lady right here. I mean, he's got a great career. He's got a great name. Why? Because she's right there and she's strengthening him and she's building him up and she's complimenting him very, very well. Same way with the wife. He's complimenting her as well. So we need to make each other look good. Guys, you ought to support your wife. You ought to support your family. You ought to go to work for your family. Provide for their needs. And I'm sure we have plenty of hardworking guys in here. I don't think we have any lazy bums. I'm not saying anything like that. It says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Somebody, a guy who does not work and supply the needs of his family. So we ought to work to build one another up and complement one another and make each other look good. Number two, we ought to empower one another, not restrict. Trusting relationships will empower one another. Let me get this point across to you. A trust is not a micromanager. Now, we know that the husband is the head of the home. He's in charge of the things of the house. But husbands, we cannot be a micromanager. I don't think that I have any business going in and picking out the drapes for the house. How about you guys? Anybody here an interior decorator? That's a guy? No? I don't think so. See, that's not my strong point. I'm not going to go in and decorate the house. If I decorated the house, it'd look like a bachelor pad. It would be not about two pictures on the wall, maybe something like that. We'd be eating TV dinners, you know, fried burritos, something like that. See, guys, we cannot be a micromanager. You know what this husband did with his wife? He empowered her. He gave away some of his authority. He delegated authority. That's what husbands are called to do. You know, we can't have our fingers and hands in every little thing. We give power away. We give it to our wives. We delegate it. Delegating power. She empowered him. Did you notice the things that she had a hold of? His kids, the clothing issues within the house. She was clothing the family. She was feeding the family. And not only that, she went out and bought a field. Guys, would you allow your wives to do that? What if you came home one day and your wife said to you, honey, I bought a field. What would your reaction be? You did what? You bought a field. Now, wait a second. How much did this cost? Oh, honey, it was only $10,000. What? We didn't even have that much money. Did you know that happened to me one time? Back in 1997, my wife bought a house, and I didn't even know it. I tell you what, one of the best investments we ever made was right there. She found a house in Spearman, Texas for $10,000, and she didn't buy it right then. It was going to get sold to somebody else, and her grandmother was right there to loan her the money. I came home. I'd been working out. I worked for D.E. Rice Construction in Borger, Texas. Came home, and of course, I was young and kind of stupid back then anyway. But she came home, and she said, honey, we bought a house. I said, what? You bought a house? What are you talking about? You didn't tell me about it? You didn't even. And back then, we didn't even have cell phones. Had no cell phone coverage or no cell phone at all. Came home and she said, yeah, I bought a house. I said, what? You got to be kidding me. I can't believe you didn't tell me about this. She said, yeah, why don't you come check it out? We went and looked at that thing. Hey, two-bedroom house for $10,000. You know what? Sometimes women are better with money than men are. I'd rather my wife take care of the money. You know, she's more thrifty than I am. Hey, I'm a spender. If I get a hold of the money, we'll probably be in the hole next couple of weeks. But sometimes the men are better with the money. So you got to work out those things. You empower one another. You don't take power away. You don't compete in all of these different things. You complement one another and empower one another. And that's what this husband did. He empowered his wife. He gave her the power and the authority to do things. And that's what she did. And she did him good. She trusted him. That's a trusting relationship right there. A trusting relationship empowers. The way to create trust, carefully listen, the way to create trust in a relationship is not to be me-focused. You cannot create trust in a relationship if you are me-focused. You have to be you-focused. That's how you create trust in a relationship, is to be you-focused. What do you say? I believe in you. I want you to succeed. You are important. Your needs are important. Your wants are important. Your dreams are important to me. That's how you create trust in a relationship. And that's what these two people are doing right here. Empowering one another. They were pulling for one another. They were not divided. They were in unison with one another. They had unity together. You see, that's how you have a trusting relationship. You want to create skepticism and untrust in a relationship? Then be all about yourself. Be all about your needs. Be all about your wants and not the other person's wants. And then your wife or your husband will not trust you because it's all about you. But you see, in our society, and it's in every one of us, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or you're lost. I mean, every one of us have the problem of being me-focused sometimes. Oh, I'm only concerned about me and not about my wife or my children or my husband. The other person will sense you're all about yourself and they will not trust you. So that's how you create trust in a relationship. We cannot be a micromanager. I was talking to Brother Baltimore this morning. He was talking about his boss. And he said, yeah, our boss lets us do the work. He's not a micromanager. He's not right there telling us what to do and how to do it and every step to take. He doesn't do that. He said there's more than one way to skin a cat. Hey, if you can do it and do it better than me and do it another way, hey, let's do it. You don't have to do it my way. Just do it that way. That's the way to do it. You cannot be a micromanager. When you're going out to build something, build a house, build a building, anything like that, what do you have to do? You come to an empty property out there, an empty lot of land, and there's trees, there's shrubs, there's things in the way that need to be cleared, isn't there? You got to get all that stuff out of the way. Move it out of the way, level the field, level the property out there, then you can build something. You know what you want to do if you're going to have a fulfilling, trustworthy relationship? Get all the junk out of the way. And that would be me, yourself, needs to move. Got to get all yourself out of the way. You have to level the playing field and not be superior to each other, but work together. That's how you create trust. And then you can build something. Build something together. So the husband is working hard to provide for his wife, and the wife is using the things that she got to better him, to complement him, and to work together. When you do those kinds of things, number three, you're going to enrich one another. Do you want to have a rich and fulfilling relationship with your wife or your husband? Do you want to enrich one another? Do these things. Is your life rich, is what I'm trying to say. Do you enrich each other? Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He has a rich life, and she has a rich life. They don't have to go anywhere else. They find fulfillment within themselves because they have a trusting relationship. Their lives are enriched. Is the life of your wife or your husband or your friends or all of the relationships that you have, are they rich because of you? Because of the things that you have added to their life? Are they enriched? Their lives were completely full. If you want to enrich the soil in your garden, what do? You add some things. You add fertilizer. You add water. You add nutrients, you add compost, you add all those things to fill up the soil to make it rich. What do you do with a relationship when you want to enrich it? You add some things to it. You have a trusting relationship. It will then bear fruit. It will be healthy. It will be all of those things. It will promote an atmosphere of growth and fruitfulness. But if there is no trust in the relationship, what are you going to have? You're going to have dearth. You're going to have distrust and depletion of growth. No fruit bearing whatsoever. You will not have an enriched relationship the way that these two folks did right here. Let me tell you something. A marriage is not two people just living together. That's not a marriage. A marriage is two people trusting one another. Amen. That's a marriage right there. Are you enriched? Have you been enriched by Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ has enriched my life. Amen. Has He enriched your life? Hey, He's given us forgiveness. He's given us grace. He's given us mercy. He's given us acceptance. And our relationship with our wife or our husband or any other relationship ought to mirror the relationship that we have with God and that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So are we enriching the lives of other people? So what should you do if you want to deepen that trust with one another? Maybe you don't have a deep trust. What should you do? If you want to cast out fear and skepticism, the first thing that you should do is just be transparent. Be transparent. Are you transparent with God? You get down on your knees and you talk to God and you confess your sins and you can be real with God. You can give Him all the ugly details. That'll be the same thing with your relationship with your wife and your husband. You got to be able to be transparent with one another. You go through the hard times and you see all the ugliness and you come out on the other side, and guess what? You're going to have a deeper trust for one another. That's how you have a deeper trust. Number two, you ought to be truthful. Truthful. God's truthful with us, isn't He? He tells us all of the ugly details about ourselves. He tells us all about the sin and all about the things about ourselves in the Bible. It's got to be the same thing with our wife and our husband. Be truthful. Be truthful. Even though the truth is ugly. Hey, some of the truth about me is ugly sometimes. Same could be said of you. Got to be truthful with one another. Number three, you need to be sacrificial. You have to be sacrificial to have a deepening trust. You can't just say, I love you, and that'll be it. You have to show that you love one another. Did God prove to you that He loved you? The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He proved that He loved us. He didn't say, hey guys, I love you down there. No, He came down here and He proved it. He was sacrificial. Don't you see the virtuous woman being sacrificial here in this text? Don't you see her going out of the way to provide the needs of her husband and the husband doing the same thing? You know, if you want to have a deepening trust, you must be sacrificial. You must do something for your wife or your husband that shows you that you love him or her. Why do you trust Jesus Christ? If you're saved here this evening, why do you trust Him? Why do you trust God? Because He did something for you. Now that's why the whole world worships Jesus Christ, or those who are saved worships Jesus Christ, is because of the cross. Because Jesus Christ gave everything and died on the cross for you and for me. And that's why I can give all my trust and all of my faith, every ounce of it I can give to Jesus Christ. You know, if you have that kind of sacrifice in your relationships with your wife, husband, whatever it might be, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a deepening trust. You can trust each other with anything because you're sacrificial. That's what we must be. If you want to have that deepening trust. You know, he says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Because of the things that she was doing and the things that he had been doing. So how are you doing in your relationships? Do you compliment one another, or are you competing with one another? Trying to get one up on your wife or your husband. Are you competing Are you a compliment? Making your wife or husband look good? Are you empowering each other or are you restricting one another? Is there unity there? Is there a unity there? And then are you enriching one another or are you depleting one another, making one another empty on the inside? My brothers and sisters, it not ought to be that way. Not ought to be that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for giving us this example of the virtuous woman and how a relationship ought to be. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us to look outside of ourselves and to compliment one another and to be pulling for one another and to love one another the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Dear God, strengthen relationships, strengthen marriages, and strengthen every kind of relationship that we have here in this building this evening. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.